Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I'm exhibiting the early onset of BSG withdrawal, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I aim to misbehave, and I am an anomaly. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Welcome.
We're very excited to be back together in our multi-million-dollar studio.
In your living room.
Shh. Don't tell them.
You already did. You told them, how many podcasts ago? When was the last time we did a podcast
I don't remember. Well, what we have been doing, we've been Skyping, and first, I want to thank everyone for all their wishes for my babe. He's almost 2 months now, and I also want to thank, and Jen already did this, but the guest hosts that we've had, and we hope to have more guest hosts in the future. This week should be fun. Have you started anything interesting?
Well, my sister just had a baby.
Cool.
That's interesting.
Anything geeky?
Yes, I'm recording a audio drama for the Treks and Sci-Fi boards. We have an RPG that we're doing there, and it's kind of a collaborative writing project, and I, along with Kenny, moderate that, and we picked a good season and decided to make it into an audio drama, which we have like 17 actors and actresses that are contributing to it, and Angela is one of them.
Yay!
So maybe we'll share that audio drama with Treks and Sci-Fi and
that'd be cool.
Put a few up.
We could put it up on the feed or
mini cast or something.
Yeah, and we could at least make it either we could put it up on the feed or we could put it in the archives, which I definitely need to update. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. The feed is updated, but the archives are not up-to-dated. So, up-to-dated? That's nice. Very nice. Anyway, well, I'm real excited. We're going to talk. What are we talking about today?
We are going to be analyzing the Firefly episode, Out of Gas.
Yay! And we do have a TV segment too, so let's rock.
Punch it.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie.
All right, television junkie town.
I know. We're very. What are you sad about?
What am I sad about? I am sad because Battlestar is on hiatus.
I didn't know that they were going to do this.
I didn't know it was going to be, 6 months?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a very long time.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they have to do what they have to do, but it's still not fair. I want Battlestar now. So have they made the episodes? They just haven't put them on air?
All.
So everything's ready.
Yes.
They're just doing this to us just for fun, for giggles.
But it's kind of like savoring your ice cream instead of polishing it off and getting brain freeze.
I don't care. I understand your metaphor, but I still don't care.
You're the brain freeze person.
Yeah, I just dive right in. I just dive right in. So that's what I usually do. I have been watching some TV. There's a new show on ABC Family, which is a strange place, but I have to admit that in the middle of the night as I've woken up with the baby, I have started recording the Gilmore Girls. I know I'm embarrassed. Very ungeeky of me. However, they do have some geeky references because it's a very reference-driven show, so it's funny. I think I heard a Star Trek reference recently, but I won't go into that. I record them and watch them in the middle of the night, and they had advertisements for this show called The Middleman. And it looked kind of silly and campy, and I thought it would be fun, so I started watching them, and it's pretty fun. I don't know how good it's going to be, but the premise is that there's this girl who is working at a genome place. I guess they're studying genetics, and she runs into this monster, and the middleman comes to take care of it. I describe it as like Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Men in Black.
Yeah.
Because it's very self-referential. It's just silly. Like, you know how in X-Files they always, or even like in Law and Order, when they put the little subtitles on, you know, what's going on, where we are, this is this place. And it's very silly. Like, every single time she goes to her apartment, it says, an illegal sublet that Wendy rents with her equally photogenic roommate. And it's like poking fun at the fact that whenever people get cast in shows, they're always pretty. So, and that's funny. And then something that happened recently that's just silly is she's having a conversation in Spanish and they're doing the subtitles in Spanish. Or they're doing the subtitles in English, and then now I ruin the joke. And then when they start speaking English, and the subtitles switch to Spanish during the conversation. And it's just very silly. It's just silly stuff like that. So I do recommend it. It comes on at they play it several times on Monday night, but I think the original starts either 7 or 8 Central Time. I would catch it. It's on ABC Family, which I think is a strange channel for the show. But anyway, it's real fun.
Well,
and I like
Pushing Daisies is on ABC Family, isn't it?
Well, it's on ABC.
ABC.
Yeah, this is a cable-only show, gotcha. I think. So it's more... I guess since it's cable, it can be more specific. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to reach as wide of an audience, I guess. But it's real cute, and there's just fun stuff. I can see why some people might not like it, but, you know, I like... So, you know, my original draw to it was the girl's a geek. You know, she's an artist, and she...
She has Xbox.
She has an Xbox, and
she knows all the comic books.
She knows comic books, and so she's an anomaly, so I definitely had to mention the show. And the guy who plays the middleman is pretty cute, so... As always. But it's fun. It's a fun show, and so I recommend it to everyone. I, too, am feeling the withdrawal pains of BSG. I just want to get it done. I want to get it done. I want to know what happens. And I was so nervous after that last episode and the way everything happened that I'm ready. But that's what they do at the end of all of the seasons and 0.5 seasons. So is it going to be like a fifth season or are they doing like 4.5?
I think it's a 4.5 type situation.
Interesting. Fabulous. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Ron Moore.
Hey, it's more Battlestar, and that's all I care about.
That's true. That is kind of cool. It's kind of like, yeah, you're right. I understand the point of, at least it's not over. We have more to look forward to. It's always fun to have stuff to look forward to, which is why I've never stopped or started reading Harry Potter again, because I just don't want it to be over. No one write us and tell us how it ends. And it doesn't matter because Jenny checks the emails. So even if you email us and tell us how it ends, I won't know.
Yeah, why is that?
She'll censor.
How come you don't check the emails?
Well, now I can't. I do every once in a while.
No, I have a little widget on my Mac that checks Google Mail. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, I just pop widget. My little cursor up to the corner, to the hotspot, and my widget comes out, and I can see if I have new mail, and that's why I answer right away.
Well, and I have my regular Gmail. My email is Gmail, so I can't have both on. And also for another company, not company, a nonprofit I work for, have another Gmail, so I have too many Gmail accounts. That's okay. But I have other people checking that one too. All right. I know we're kind of subdued today. I'm sorry about that. I think it's because tomorrow is 4th of July. We've been working all week.
I stayed up really late waiting for the arrival of my nephew.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry about that.
No,
and then
I'm
not really getting that much sleep. He's sleeping pretty good, but I still only on about 6 hours of sleep, and I used to get 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night. So still kind of adjusting to that.
Yeah. No, I think once we start talking about Out of Gas, we'll get more talkative.
I think you're right. So even though it's a TV show, it is going to be in our main segment. Okay, Joss Whedon. That was not a very good clap. Okay, there we go. So do you want to talk about Firefly in general?
In general, start out in general.
And then talk about the episode, because I want to leave it open so if we ever want to talk about another episode,
yes,
we can.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is what we're doing. Firefly. Yippee!
I am ashamed to admit that until, a few months ago, I had never seen more
it's
than
a couple
half
years.
Of a show. No.
No? Is this a confession? Are you confessing?
You loaned me the first episode?
I loaned you the whole thing, I thought. Maybe not.
No, because I went and bought it.
Sorry, dude.
After I saw the first episode. I went and bought the box set of the entire series.
Uh-huh.
And David and I watched the entire thing and couldn't stop watching.
Should we officially say what we're doing? I mean, we've already said it, but that our main topic. This is our main topic.
Yes.
We're talking about Firefly.
Okay. Let's start talking about the main topic.
This is our main topic. We're talking about Firefly. Jen, when did you start watching Firefly? Go.
All right.
You're right. I am more excited now.
Okay, so our main topic is Firefly, and the episode we're discussing is Out of Gas.
Yes.
From season...
There's only one season.
Oh, no.
Don't make me cry. There's only 14 episodes, 12 of which aired.
Yes, and all of them good.
Every single one of them good, and one I'm scared to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of it, but there's one I don't like to watch, so it's the one with the bounty hunter. That comes the guy who used to be on Law and Order. Yeah. He's mean to Kaylee. I don't like that.
Me either.
Reavers don't bother me that much because they're just like you know. But like somebody who's that calculating,
No.
Maybe we'll look at that episode because it's a very good episode. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to watch. But
I agree.
There you go.
Yeah. So speaking of Kaylee, the character that I think you are most like is Kaylee.
Really?
Yes.
Expand.
On the mark. You just have a similar personality.
Okay.
And you're always smiley. She's always smiley. You're always very sweet. She's always very sweet.
Uh-huh.
Very similar. But your husband is not at all like the doctor.
No.
He's like Wash.
Yeah, Jim is more like Wash.
Almost exactly like Wash.
Yeah.
Can fix everything.
Yeah. Well, Kaylee can fix everything.
True.
So I think actually, don't quote me on this, but I think when Jim took the quiz, he came out as Kaylee and I came out as Zoe.
See, that's not true. I think I'm more like Zoe.
I agree with that. I'm just saying that's what the quiz came out like.
Yeah. I think I identify most with that character.
Mm-hmm.
Very dry. I can see dry that. Humor, kind of.
You're a little more hardcore.
A little more hardcore and not high strung.
Right.
And my husband's very much like Mal.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So it's funny that Joss has set up this perfect recipe for a group of people that represent all different personalities.
Yes. Well, he's very good at doing that. And I just want to say, you know, you had mentioned that you had started watching because I told you you had to and held you at gunpoint and everything.
Just like Battlestar.
Just like Battlestar. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Or, sorry, you're welcome. That's what I mean to say.
Thank you. I should be saying thank you.
Exactly. No, I started watching when it first aired because I am a huge Buffy fan. And by that token, I'm a huge Joss Whedon fan. I think he's just the most amazing person. Well, I don't know what kind of person he is. He may be a total jerk. Who knows? But I think he's an amazing artist. And every time I see him in an interview, hear him talk about anything, especially his passion for Buffy and his passion for Firefly, he gets it. He so completely gets it. And I just enjoy how his stories unfold. And I'm very sad that there's still story to be told in the Firefly verse. And it makes me very, very sad about that. But
you don't think he'll ever revisit it?
He might. He might. I mean, you know, there's a Buffy season 8 on in comic book form. He may revisit in comic book form. I have to say that there may be people screaming at me out there that know everything. I don't really go on all the sites and I don't have time. I don't have time to look, you know, what could be happening. But I don't think he could really let it go forever. He's going to have to do it in some form, maybe in graphic novel, maybe, you know, I don't really care how he does it. I just love these characters and want to see them. I think for spoiler reasons, there's a couple things in the movie we won't talk about, but we're pretty much going to talk about we're not going to talk about the whole series, but if we bring up things, we maybe bring up things.
There may be some spoilers we bring up in this episode.
Right. Of course, Fox did that plenty for us because the first episode that they aired was The Train Job, in which everything had already happened with River, and that was very annoying. And they didn't air the pilot, which is two TV mm-hmm. hours worth of pilot, which is so funny and introduces all the characters and has the little thing, the thing with River where she's still in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas The Train Job happens but she's already out of the box. That whole thing is completely blown because that was something very interesting. And anyway,
Those who are not Firefly fans and have never seen an episode of Firefly,
mm-hmm.
it's like a Cowboys in Space type genre. And that was initially why I did not want to watch it. And shame on me, but I judged it before I saw more than maybe 5 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what in the heck is this? Mm-hmm. And I think it was the train job I watched. I had no idea what was going on.
Yes.
I didn't know who these people were because there was no setup to it. The pilot hadn't been aired.
Right.
So how was I supposed to catch on and enjoy it? And I think that was probably why I only lasted one season.
But, yeah. Well, there's lots of reasons we could go on, but that's not the point of this.
But River is a character who, she's what, a teenager about maybe 15 or 16 years old in the show?
Yeah, I think she's supposed to be 16 or 17 in the show.
Her brother is a doctor, and they are...
Oh, wait, real quick, before you do that, just in general, I wanted to interject, I'm sorry, that the show itself to me is that, like I've always thought about it, is that the Malcolm, who's the captain of the ship, is like, not exactly, but kind of like Han Solo.
Yes.
And... again, not exactly, so I don't want anybody telling me that I'm wrong, but it's almost as if it's like the future of Earth, as if Earth, you know, no aliens, nothing like that. But thematically, like Malcolm is Han, and there was this battle and fight between the Rebellion and the Empire, and the Empire won, basically. Yeah. It's kind of, thematically, that's how I always felt about it, because they're kind of, it's like the rebels are lost, and they're just kind of hanging out,
mm-hmm.
and with a slight chip on their shoulder. Yeah. So I'm sorry, that to me, I wanted to put
that in. Well, that's good that you started with that, because then we should explain, again, no aliens.
No aliens.
The planets that the Firefly, which is a ship,
mm-hmm.
that it goes to, are terraformed planets that didn't have any life, and humans settled it and made it livable, mm-hmm. by creating an atmosphere and plant life and terraforming the planet. So all of these plants are all populated, mm-hmm. by humans, yes. in the future.
And the Firefly is the ship, the class of ship, and the ship's name is Serenity.
Yes, sorry.
Okay. I know, we keep... this will be very confusing if you've never actually...
I know. And I guess we should also say that the language that people speak...
Oh, yes.
...is...
Mandarin,
yes. And that was never really explained why that is the case. But it's kind of like, you know, in the Old West, a lot of the characters speak Spanish.
Yes.
It's the same kind of premise, only it's Asian. It's just a little, you know, something to kind of give it its own flair.
Right. Well, unique. I think the idea is that the big cultures that survived into the future, mm-hmm. are America and Asia, or China mainly, and that those are the main cultures that kind of spread throughout the world, and now they're kind of combined. And I don't know that this was ever really fully fleshed out, even though I've watched the featurettes and all that stuff. I don't know that they ever really fleshed it out. And as Matt on Geeks always says, there aren't any Asian main characters. So sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's the reason that they do speak.
And they have their... Mandarin bad words.
Yes, they do.
Just like Battlestar has its made-up frack word. All right, so as I was saying, River and her brother come aboard the ship as stowaways.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowed to stay because... Wait, no. The doctor initially gets passage aboard the ship. His sister is a stowaway in a container. He doesn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Has
she's
a person in it. Right. She's kind of in a stasis pod of some type that just looks like cargo.
Yep.
And they find out afterwards that by looking through his stuff,
mm-hmm.
that there's a person in there, and they think he's a freak and call him
out. Now we're talking about the first episode.
Yes,
so.
Yes. I'm just explaining who River is. We brought her up a couple of times. So
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So this she's is just, harder. She's been tortured. Mentally, because they're poking and prodding and doing experiments on another, like the government, some agency within the government. So they're running from them. They're smugglers, again, because Mal is a Han Solo type character and he's got all these jobs. So it's always adventurous. Mm-hmm. Everything, they have lots of adventures along the way. And
it's actually good that you talked about River and Simon now, because the episode that we're going to talk about, Out of Gas, is kind of like, it almost could have been the pilot, in a way, because it introduces every other character,
yes.
except for Simon and River, because they're the only ones that they come in last.
Mm-hmm.
and out of gas. Do you want to give us a quick synopsis and then we'll go from there?
It starts out, you see, and I love the cinematography in this episode and the music. It just sets a mood. You know, something horrible has happened. The camera pans across every cabin on the ship and everything is in disarray. There's junk all over the floor. The place looks empty. You're wondering what the heck happened to the people. There's just no one. And the next thing you see, I think, is Mal laying on the floor of the cargo hold.
Bleeding.
And it transitions into a backflash. He's thinking
flashback.
About... Yes. Backflash is a flame, I think. That there was a movie about that. But anyway, yes, Kirk Russell was in it. You made a face. So.
I was thinking. I'm sorry. That was my hard thing.
There was a flashback, and he starts off where he and Zoe are...
Zoe.
He calls her Zoe for short.
He doesn't.
Yes, he does. They call her Zoe.
He doesn't ever call her Zoe.
I've heard him call her Zoe before.
I have watched the show over and over for like a gazillion times, and I've never heard him call her Zoe. You're insane.
This is really sucking.
No, this is fun because it's more fun when we disagree about stuff. You got to keep going.
Is your chance to email us. Because only a few people email us, and we know there's more than just a couple of people listening to the show. And if you want to email us, we don't bite. Tell us if they say Zoe sometimes, or if they always call her Zoe. If you are a fan of Firefly, we would like to know.
Okay,
so there
you go.
Give us your feedback. Anyway, continuing on, he's showing Zoe the ship and trying to tell her, you know, what a great ship it is and stuff. And she says, you paid money for this on purpose? I love that. It's just like Luke saying, what a piece of junk in A New Hope. So yes. Again, with the Han Solo
reference. Yep.
Yeah. And he said something like, you know, a ship like this will be with you until the day you die, which again sets up what's happened to him in the cargo hold. You remember at that point, oh, something horrible has, you know, happened to Mal, and he's on the floor bleeding.
And it also sets up that Zoe, and we already know, but Zoe and Mal have been together. They served together in the war against the, I want to say Alliance, but I know that's not right. Against the, oh gosh, now I don't know.
I think it is the Alliance.
Is it?
Yes.
How funny. Anyway, so they served together. They were brown coats together in the same unit and fought together. And they have been together for a long time not as a couple, but as, you know, working together
partners.
And partners and also comrades, I guess, is the best way to say it. As
veterans that have
veterans
fought together in war. Yeah. Well, he was always her superior.
Right.
In the war.
And that carries over as well.
Uh-huh. She's kind of his first officer on the Firefly.
And
she says he's going on and talking about grandiose things about the Firefly and everything that it's going to do for them. And he mentions something about what the Firefly is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, what's that? And he thinks she's asking him to explain. So he goes off on some tangent about freedom. She goes, no, what's that? And she points to the floor. And he goes, oh, yeah, there's been animals living here. And they walk past it. And you see the cameras following them out the door, and then it pans back down to the floor. I don't know if he's, you know, trying to make a parallel between that crap you don't see, because it kind of fades down into the floor, and you see Mal again laying on the floor.
Ah, cool.
I thought that was a nice transition. And then I guess the next scene is him trying to get up and struggling to move about the ship. And you find out little by little through his flashbacks what's happened. And I love the scene where they're all sitting around the table, the galley.
They're talking.
And they're all talking and laughing. It's like a family gathering. Shepherd's telling a story about his days in the monastery.
And everybody's laughing.
And everyone's laughing. And
for those of you who are Buffy fans, that is a scene that also happens in a flashback in an episode called The Body, where Buffy's mom dies. The same thing happens. It's after we find out she died, there's a flashback. I think they did it instead of opening credits for that episode because it was like a special episode, and it's a great episode of Buffy, by the way, if you've never seen it. And they're all around a Thanksgiving table just talking, and the banter between the characters very much reminded me of that. So if you are a fan of both, it's fun to go and see Joss's writing style and how it's very similar in those two about how family is together and showing just kind of a slice of life of this family together.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's a nice contrast. You can't feel the desperation mm-hmm. of what's happened until you see the way it usually is with them
right.
and how happy
and
they were
happening.
Right before it's happened. Right.
Yeah. And nothing's happening. It's just them
yes.
being, and it's mm-hmm. cool.
And again, it's the doctor's birthday.
Yes.
And they don't have any birthday cake. So Kaylee's made him
a protein cake.
With chocolate-ish icing.
Yeah.
She said she tried to make it taste like chocolate. So, yeah, they're celebrating
they that,
his
but...
birthday. Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
And that scene, something happens with the engines. River predicts the fire.
Mm-hmm.
She says fire, and her brother thinks she's talking about the candles.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, yeah, and he goes to blow them out, and that's when, like, this big backflash, as I was referring to, comes through the door,
mm-hmm.
and it knocks Zoe,
that's
down.
Okay.
That's a really cool scene, the way they put the fire out. They lock down that galley
uh-huh.
and open the ship up and extinguish the fire by opening the ship up to the vacuum of space, which I think is a really great, again, scene where you're starting off in the chaos of the ship and you're outside the ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely silent in mm-hmm. the vacuum of space and you just see the flames coming out with no sound.
That was something specific to this show that I think I hadn't seen in any other popular sci-fi series or sci-fi movie. And I'm sure it's happened before, but that Joss did, where whenever you are in space, whenever the camera is in space, there is no sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was really cool. And I think they do it in Battlestar,
yeah.
but I'm not sure about that.
They do. I like when they use science properly in science fiction. Mm-hmm. There's only so much suspension of disbelief you could do,
mm-hmm.
especially nowadays when we know so much more about how mm-hmm. things work in
right.
space and technology. It's really nice to see them using that
right.
you know, in their storytelling.
So that's what happened. And then also, not only the story of how he got on the floor bleeding, but also the story of how he... managed to get the Firefly, get Serenity, and also how all of the
his crew members joined the
crew
ship.
Joined exactly,
yeah.
and that's what I think is the most important thing about this
yeah.
episode. So,
because Kaylee is so distraught, Kaylee's the mechanic or the Scotty of Serenity. The name of the ship is Serenity. Her reaction over what's happened to Zoe
mm-hmm.
is really touching because she blames herself for
mm-hmm.
whatever happened to the engine,
mm-hmm.
and Mal kind of. Tells her, you know, we got to fix this. And he's very fatherly to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that scene in
yes.
right outside the sick bay
yes.
where, or the infirmary where he's trying to get her, encourage her to go fix the problem,
uh-huh.
you know, go see if you could fix it. Then there's a flashback of how he met Kaylee.
Well, what's funny is that I think it's in the first scene about how when he's talking to Zoe about it, she's like, well, you know, it's going to take some fixing up. And he says, well, I've got this genius mechanic. And automatically, since we've seen most of, you know, since we've seen the episodes, we're like,
mm-hmm.
oh, he's talking about Kaylee.
Yeah.
And then there's this weird tattooed guy and he goes to find him. And there's some fun and interesting sounds coming from the, I love this part. And there's fun, interesting sounds coming from the engine room. And it is the guy mechanic having sex with Kaylee.
Well, you don't know it's Kaylee at first.
You don't know it's Kaylee
know
at first, but it's just this dude having sex with some girl. And she's getting dressed and getting up. And I just love how, you know, the guy's like, well, I don't know how to fix it. And she's like, oh, no, it's easy. You just go blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
and do
well,
this.
I was laying on my back. I saw that. I saw this problem here. And you don't even need that component. It's better if the ship doesn't have it. And she takes it out and it starts up. And he's like,
and a little mini interview
right there in the
And she says,
engineer.
I've never been in one before.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows how to fix
and he's
stuff.
Like, you want a job?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
it's
funny.
The funniest scene or the funniest line, I think, in that scene is when the mechanic says, what do you need two mechanics for? And he goes, I don't.
I like that. It's hard not. It's very quotable.
Yes.
Firefly is very quotable. It's hard not to just go through
mm-hmm.
the scene, but. Try not to. But
yeah.
The meeting of Kaylee is my favorite.
The Zoe and Wash scene's really good too.
Yeah.
Because Zoe and Wash are married
uh-huh.
and he's very upset over the fact that Mal wants him to go fix the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little flashback again about how they met Wash for the first time.
And he has a mustache, doesn't he?
Yes. He looks very 70s mustache and a Hawaiian shirt. And Zoe hates him. She doesn't know why. She just doesn't like him
at
all.
I just don't like that guy.
I just don't like him. He was like, well, you know, he comes highly recommended. You got to give me a better reason than that. I don't know. I just don't like him.
Oh, Jane.
Jane becomes a part of the crew after his band of bandits tries to hold up Zoe and Mal on some planet somewhere. They're like holding at gunpoint at the
Mal offers them a better deal.
It's a great exchange.
It's as good as anything else. But him and the guy who plays Jane are so funny together, and Jane is such a great character because he's just so Jane.
Selfish.
I don't know.
He's selfish and stupid
and unabashed about it.
And he will not.
No irony.
He has no filter.
No.
He'll just say exactly. It goes from the brain to the mouth. And that's a problem sometimes for between he and several of the female characters on the
show. It's true.
And I love how they kind of make fun of him when Jane's holding the gun on him, and he says something about you low down dirty deceiver. So I don't remember how the quote goes. I should have wrote it down. But Mal turns to Zoe and says, that was beautiful, wasn't it? She goes, it was poetry, sir, or something like that. Just the way the exchange is.
I almost like every single time when that happens, when he refers to Zoe and she says anything that ends with sir is funny. In the very first episode, they get ambushed and he says, like, Zoe, you were right. This is a bad idea. And then she says, thank you for saying so, sir. I just love it. They're just so funny together. Just everyone's cast so well. Oh, blah, blah. I could go on and on. There are many podcasts about.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that Jane said was really funny was when they asked in back to the scene, the family scene, where they're discussing funny stories.
Yeah.
Kaylee, it has a crush on the doctor. And
Forgot about this.
Yeah. But she wants him to tell a funny story about being a doctor. And Jane, you know, says something like, because sick people are hilarious. Like, he's just anticipating whatever story this doctor's going to tell is just going to be stupid.
That's awesome. Ugh.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Because this is a cowboy, or Cowboys in Space, they all have the dialect is, despite the fact they're speaking Mandarin sometimes, the dialect is very Old West.
Some of them don't. It depends.
It depends on who.
But Jane,
who
definitely, I think it fits his character that he does. Then we find out that everybody leaves the ship, and they'd have two shuttles, and the shuttles go in two different directions, and then they're supposed to come back if he calls them, and he puts out a signal or whatever, and what happens? Somebody answers the signal, and they try to take the ship from him. And
yeah, he's all by himself, too, so there's nothing he can do. They shoot him in the stomach.
Yeah.
And they're going to just leave him for dead. And the great scene.
Go ahead.
He pulls a Han Solo and gets up with a pistol. They're not expecting him to put up much of a fight, and they're just are talking about taking the ship while they're standing over what they think is his dying body. And he gets up with a pistol and tells him to get off the ship.
Yep.
And I think the bad guy that shoots him says, "You would have done the same, Mister." And he said, "I think I've just proved I wouldn't," because he doesn't shoot them. He just tells him, "Get off my ship."
Yeah.
And leave the part, because they were going to give him a part to fix the engine trade, but they end up bringing the part and then shooting him so they could take the ship. Yeah, it's very melancholy, this episode.
Yes, it is.
And I think there's an exchange between the doctor and Inara about the Serenity, and she says she really loves the Serenity and had loved it since she first saw it. And he says, "I always thought the name Serenity had a vaguely funerary sound." And it, again, sets up what's going to happen. Or what has already begun to happen.
Do you know that Malcolm means Serenity in Vulcan?
Does it?
No joke.
Awesome.
In an episode of Enterprise, Malcolm from Enterprise has a dream, and T'Pol is standing over him, and I think she kisses him in the dream. And she's flirting with him, and she's like stroking his face, and it says, "You know that Malcolm means Serenity in Vulcan." And then I looked it up, and sure enough, in the
Vulcan Language Institute, geeky website. If anybody wants to check that out, it has awesome music on the homepage.
I'm just saying, Joss Whedon might be a little bit of a Star Trek fan.
I think you're probably right. Maybe. Nothing's accidental when it comes to him.
Good
writers
always think
of things like that to throw in there.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
I think harkening back to good writers, I believe in the pilot of Battlestar Galactica, in some of the scenes where the ships are preparing to leave, there is a Enterprise 1701D and I believe a Firefly in the back.
I've heard that too, but I don't remember if I saw it. I think I did see the Enterprise, but I don't know if I've seen the Battlestar and the Firefly. I think it's in the miniseries. right?
Yes, yes, that's what I meant.
It's
not
in
the pilot,
miniseries.
The miniseries.
Yeah, because I think the first episode is 33, and that's when they're already out.
Yeah,
running. So yeah, it's in the miniseries. Okay. So cool. And showing our love for BSG, we've already made it all the way back. Full
it's
circle.
It's on the top of our minds right now.
Oh, we didn't talk about Inara.
Yes.
Yeah. I love Inara's costumes so much. I just want to raid her closet. Raid it.
Why don't you explain who Inara is for those who don't know anything about Firefly?
Inara is, she rents the shuttle on the ship, on the Firefly. And basically, well, that's one of those things. Her and the Shepherd are cool because you don't really know what their story is. That's one of those things that I'm always curious. I know it's in Joss's head and I just want it out of mm-hmm. there, but you know, I'll wait. And Inara is what's called a companion, which is kind of a combination of a geisha and a hooker, basically. That, which it's just kind of, I don't know that there is any hooker in there, but basically, I mean, she's a call girl and it's
an escort.
An escort. But it's in this, at this time, I guess I should say, it is perfectly legal. She's a registered companion, and evidently they're very high up in society as far mm-hmm. as, and what they say is that she adds credibility to the ship whenever they have to go anywhere or do anything.
That's why she's allowed to be.
And that's operating. Why. Yeah, but there's a backstory that nobody knows, and mm-hmm. you know, she comes to rent the shuttle. She's looking for, because she has clients all over the place, and she just needs a place to fly around in while she goes different places. And she's just awesome. It's her costumes that I love the most.
Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of a romance that right. is hinted at between Mal and Inara
mm-hmm.
that I don't think ever actually comes to fruition, unless it's in the movie. That's still kind of left open-ended, I think.
I think it's still left open-ended, but their actions speak louder than words mm-hmm. as far as that's concerned. So, mm-hmm.
what are you gonna do? And then I guess what happens at the end of this episode?
They do come back. He fixes it just in the nick of time. He fixes mm-hmm. the ship. Zoe came to and made everybody come back to the ship.
Yes.
And he's like, I told y'all to leave me here. And she's like, sorry, sir.
Yep, she saved your life. Sorry.
It's good. It's good. Because I think he fixes the ship and then he passes out. And mm-hmm. then when he wakes up, he's in the mm-hmm. in the infirmary and they're laying next to Zoe. And that's real funny. So
yeah.
That's so funny. I'm just kidding. Okay.
It's definitely a good episode. And we'll try to do more analysis of other Firefly episodes in the future. The next one I think we should do is the one where Mal buys Kaylee the dress and they go to the ball.
Oh, I love that episode. Shindig.
Yes.
To me, I don't know if this is on purpose, but there's the shindig is a reference to a Buffy episode where they're talking. I just watched it recently. Mm-hmm. Where they're talking about having a party for Buffy and they say, well, is it a get together, a shindig, or a hootenanny? Or something like that. I think Oz says it. And who uses the word shindig? So, anyway.
Probably someone in my family.
Very fun. And that is one of my favorite episodes. It's really good. It's very fun to watch. What are we going to talk about next time?
Let's talk about...
You heard it
well,
here
I
first.
Know. We have a friend who has never seen Star Wars ever. And... She's interested in watching it.
Never. And she does not know anything about it.
No.
At all.
Nothing.
So it's like a social experiment.
Yes.
A very nerdy social experiment.
Yeah. But the good thing is, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there who have girlfriends or maybe boyfriends who've never watched it, have no desire to watch it. And there's no way on God's green earth they will ever talk them into it. Yeah, but she's interested in watching it because all of her brothers are fans, big time,
mm-hmm.
and her mother and father. But somehow
everyone's seen
it skipped her.
Yeah.
Nobody ever introduced her to Star Wars.
So we will be talking to her about that. We may talk to her and then discuss it. I don't know if she'll be able to come be on the podcast, but hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully she will.
I think she will.
Maybe
Star we can
Wars
do the
noob.
Commentary with her watching.
I don't know. Yeah. That didn't go too well the first time.
Yeah, we've tried to do commentary before on Star
Wars. It was
Wars.
A snooze fest.
We just wanted to watch it.
We were like, cool. I like it. I like that part.
Doesn't that guy look like Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies?
Look, two sons. Cool.
It was pretty horrible. Ladies and gentlemen, John Williams.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap. Oh, I didn't do the Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
For?
For out of gas.
Oh.
I give it 5 Gamma Quadrant Golf Claps. Thank you.
What is that in reference to?
No one knows.
I'm sure there are people listening who do, but I'm ignorant.
Honestly, there's not really a direct reference, but there was an episode of my roommate in college. Her name's Heather. I don't know why I've never talked about her, because she's also a big Star Trek fan with me. And she has pictures of Data. She went to to a convention where she actually saw Brent Spiner. And yeah, pretty awesome. Anyway, I digress. So we were watching one day, and we're in theater together, so we're dorks in a lot of ways. But something happened, and we both turned to each other and did this clap with the back of our hands, like, and I said, "That's the Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap." And it was an episode of Star Trek, and a bunch of aliens were watching Riker play trombone or something stupid.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's the Gamma Quadrant. So much more information. Oh, good. We can get this out of the way.
Is that your friend Heather calling to tell you that she's listening live?
I hope that wasn't important. You won't have this anyway. So sorry about the giant explanation. Bunch of aliens sitting around. I'll start over.
Okay.
Bunch of aliens sitting around Star Trek. My friend Heather and I were watching. And then we decided that they did the stupid clap that reminded us of a golf clap, but it was backwards. And so whenever we'd enjoy something thoroughly, but it wasn't very good. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Whenever we enjoy something thoroughly, we would do the Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
I like it.
You say it just like that. Like you're watching golf. Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
Then we will have to start using that now from now on.
It's a rating system. It's yeah, become like a rating it. System. So I there like you it. Go.
We should title the podcast
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap. That's too much. I don't think you know how annoying that is to put into the feed.
Well, you don't always have to put the anomaly of.
Well, no. I'm talking about the MP3 file. Whatever you name it in the file.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can name it whatever you want me to. Oh, okay. Feed. I like the anomaly of.
Okay.
I like consistency.
All right.
It's nice.
All right.
I mean, we can change it.
No, that's cool.
You want to talk about it?
That's cool.
We can talk it over. Okay. This is a really bad
outro.
What was
I telling? What was I? You said something about, I need to talk about that on the podcast. Something about.
A star has been named after my son. We got the plaque and everything. It's named Russell James, and it is in Taurus, which is his sign, which is cool. To me. So I don't know if they do that on purpose because it doesn't say anything about his birthday. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It just named it after him. So he has a little star.
That's awesome.
In Taurus. And it's cool too because when you get the little pamphlets and all the mm-hmm. book, it tells you all about stars and how they're born and how they die and all the different, you know, all the different stages of growth of a star and, mm-hmm. and our sun. And it's cool. It's really cool. So there's a star out there named after my son, so it's kind of cool.
What I think is cool about that, I know some people probably think that's a scam, but I don't, because one of these days, there will be astronauts traveling past the Russell James star.
True.
And it will be on their star map.
Which reminds me of another joke that I thought of once that we thought of. Okay, wouldn't it be hilarious, writers out there doing sci-fi, please listen. It's a future thing, and somebody's flying past a star, and they're like, oh, that's a Martha Smith. Look, it's the Martha Smith star. And wouldn't that be funny? I just think that would be hilarious.
I think it would be funny if they passed the Jen and Angela anomaly star.
I think that would be great.
And if anybody wants to buy those for us, let us know.
Well, it's cool because we did theme his room, Moon and Stars and Star Wars. There are Star Wars action figures in his room already. We haven't decided if he gets to keep them or not. They may be just a nice place to put mommy
well, you
and daddy's
better let
stuff.
Let him keep the bobblehead Jawa.
He gets the bobblehead Jawa. I know. Okay. And he gets his little Chewie and his little Yoda.
Yes.
I'm those talking so about the several Hans and Leias. For some reason, we get Hans and Leias all the time.
That's awesome. And you found, remember, from our very first podcast, said that you got a vintage Leia on card.
Yes.
For your wedding gift. And you couldn't find it? Well, you found it, right?
I found it. And I had I had gotten a Han a long time before that, but it was like the same series. Mm-hmm. So very cool. Awesome. And then we got two more from Jim's uncle.
And you have a life-size C-3PO and R2-D2.
We do have a life-size C-3PO and R2-D2
in his
room.
Nursery. It's so awesome because it matches his blue.
It does
paint on the
it
wall.
It all mm-hmm. goes together.
You did so. Very,
we have regular
very well.
Baby stuff too, mm-hmm. but you know, he's. Oh, and we also got the little storm pooper outfit. Cute. Anywho, well, that's it. That's enough of that. Thank you for listening to the podcast. if you would like to visit our website, you can go online to anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And you can email us from there. There's a contact button. Or you can email us directly at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com.
And please, if there are any anomalies out there, that's female fangirls who are socially functional, please let us know we're not alone and email us and tell us you're listening. Just tell us, hey, my name is Bobby Joe. I'm from the United States and I listen to your show.
If you whatever. Are the girl who mm-hmm. rode the bus with me in college, who read the Quantum Leap books and actually thought you were dating Sam Beckett, please do not contact us. It's true. That really happened.
I know. You've okay. told me the story, but it's very funny. No, we are all inclusive.
Yes, we are.
We like all geeks.
We do.
Male or female. But we would love to hear from everyone, but
yes.
particularly if there are any female fangirls listening, because we really do want to know if we're just...
And if you're famous, that would be really cool.
On our own. Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
My hopes can be high.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thank you everyone for listening. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
It took me a year after the show went off the air and came on a DVD for me to write my Firefly song, okay? Might as well do that. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da, la da 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 da. Yeah, you know the tune. La da da da, la da da da, la da da. Well, I'm the Captain Mal. My wit is dry. I may never be a success, but I'm gonna try. I live by one law, Murphy's, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly. I'm on Firefly. I'm on Firefly. Da 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 da. Well, I'm the first mate, Zoe. I'll always survive. Like my career after Cleopatra 2525. I'm the hottie who kick your ass, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly. I'm on Firefly. I'm on Firefly. Da 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 da. Well, I'm Wash, Zoe's husband. I'm one lucky guy. I'm also the pilot, so shut up and let me fly. I'm the comic relief on the wind, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Ya da 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 da. Well, I'm Jane, the hero of Canton. I'm one studly guy. Don't get on my bad side, or you're gonna die. Oh yeah, I don't have a good side, and you know why. Yeah, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Yada da da da. Well, I'm Kaylee the engineer, I know what to do. I'm the oversexed grease monkey, snarky savant Mary Sue. I'm in lust with Simple Simon, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da 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 da. Well, I'm Simon the doctor, and Jane gets on my nerves. If he doesn't shut up, I'll make sure he gets what he deserves. I'll lock him in a room with my sister, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da 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 da. Well, I'm River, I think. There's a 29.22% chance that this verse won't scan, but if we rewrite it in iambic, ooh, dancing. I'm in Ara the companion, in love with Mal, who knows why. He always calls me a whore, I guess he's shy. And nothing will ever happen, cause so am I. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Ya da 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 da. Well, I'm Shepherd Book,
the token religious guy. I got a great left hook and I think like a spy. All that Barney Miller paid off, and you know why. Yeah, hey, I'm a firefly, I'm a firefly, I'm a firefly. Yeah, da, 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 da. Well, I'm Joss Whedon, the creator. Yeah, that's me. The only one to compare is J. Michael Straczynski. I thank you all for watching Serenity. Yay, hey, buy my DVD, buy my DVD, buy my DVD. Da 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 da. Well, I'm Brannon Braga, and I'm the Star Trek guy. 40 years of franchise, and you can kiss it goodbye. Joss got it right in one. I hate that guy. Yay, hey, he did Firefly, he did Firefly, he did Firefly. Da 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 da. Well, now this song is done, time to say goodbye. It's been a lot of fun, but I gotta fly. I've set aside 15 hours, and you know why. Yeah, hey, to watch Firefly, to watch Firefly, to watch Firefly. Yeah, da 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 da. Firefly for a white guy.
I'm on Firefly was written and performed by Todd Smith. You can find this and other PodSafe music at music.podshow.com. The Anomaly podcast intro and outro music, as well as the ever-popular Television Junkie, was written by Angela's husband and performed by his band. Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly. Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog, and leave us a rating on iTunes, hopefully a positive one. Drop us a line at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com, or via our contact page at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And leave a comment on our latest episodes, or just say hi. And if you're an anomaly, or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world. Anomaly is released on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license. Which means you have to have our permission to change it or incorporate it into another work. All rights reserved.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-Fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.